Well, good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that you're having a great day thus far today on this beautiful Lord's Day. I'm assuming maybe some of you are sitting around your phones and iPads and computers, maybe with a cup of coffee in one hand, your Bible in the other. And I hope that you're ready to revolve yourself around God's Word with the family of faith here. You know, I saw a sign the other day that says the church is not a building, it's a people. So even though we're not physically gathering and haven't been for a couple of months now in the church, we're still gathering as the church around this vehicle of social media virtually. So thank God for it. And I look forward to in a couple of weeks us getting together for our first drive-in services on May the 31st. I'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes at the end of my message here today. But I want to just encourage you to open up your Bibles and let's open up in prayer here this morning as we begin here today. Would you just bow your heads in prayer? Lord, we thank you today for this time. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and speak to us a word that's going to change our life forever. Lord, that your word would come alive to us as a now word today, a rhema word today. We need a word that's going to encourage us and guide us today. So we lay aside every distraction and we ask Jesus that you would come and make so clear what you want us to walk away from here today that we can apply to our lives. Not just head knowledge, but transformational. Not just informational, but transformational. That we can be more like you and walk this thing out as you lead us, Holy Spirit. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. There once was this old retired mariner, a sea captain, who told a story once of a situation that he was in where he and his crew were in this violent storm at sea, and there was no guarantees that they were going to make it back to shore. And he made a comment after the fact to someone when they did make it back to shore, a very telling comment that I want us to start off with here this morning. And the phrase that he said to someone was that the Lord heard the voices of many strangers that night. I find that to be very interesting and very telling because it seems that in the midst of what's going on right now in the world with the coronavirus, this pandemic, that I would venture to say that the Lord has heard the voices of many strangers over the last several weeks. People are praying to him more than ever. People that maybe haven't prayed to him for a long time or so irregularly that now they're becoming more consistent and persistent in that time. Just like what happened, if some of you remember back on 9/11 when the attacks on the United States happened, churches were filled for the first several weeks because people were becoming acutely aware of their need for a higher power in their lives. Where the attacks attacked the financial representations of our country and the military representations of our country, the Twin Towers and the Pentagon, and those two things were pulled out from under us, or at least attempted to, we realized that we couldn't put our faith in our military might or our financial security. We have to put our faith in God. I think the same thing is happening in this time, and I trust that you have been seeking the Lord, not just more in these last couple of weeks, but that you've been seeking the Lord up to that point and then really just stayed faithful with that. But as I said last week, as we're navigating through this unprecedented time, and we've been talking over the last several weeks about the end times survival guide, meaning how we can not just survive but thrive in these end times. I believe that we're in the very, very end of the end times. And I know, we were just watching something yesterday, Kelly and I. By the way, my faithful, trusty, sweet wife cameraman person is behind me here, and I'm waving at her now, and thank you for your faithfulness in being my camera person. She's doing a great job. But we were talking about this with some friends yesterday, and we realized that, and I saw some statistic on this video as we were watching it, that out of, say, 100 sermons that are preached over a cross-section of pastors that they took a survey a very thorough survey, only 2 out of 100 were speaking about end times. That really kind of took me back, because I feel like that we need to be speaking about it more. I know where we've been, and that's good and fine, but I think it's very more important where we're going. And I know that we're coming, all of us, the whole world is coming to a place where we're coming to the end of what we know as the normal, and Jesus is going to come back. The rapture is going to take place. The tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, is going to take place, where all hell will break loose. The wrath of God will be poured out upon the earth for those that have rejected him over the centuries. And all these things are going to take place, and yet you don't hear too much about it. Well, that's what we've been talking about over the last several weeks, and I don't want to minimize the importance of the practical aspect of what God's Word is telling us. It's things that we know about. Putting our armor on, last week we talked about that. The helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And all those things. We know all that. We've heard that through the years. But to take it and realize that everything that we've been talking about the last several weeks, Jesus, God's Word, has attached every single one of them to, as you see the day approaching. And that day is not just any day. It's the day of Jesus' return, of the rapture. And so that's what we need to understand, is that Jesus is telling us through all of these teachings and the things that we have heard about all these years, that as you see the day approaching, assemble yourself more. Put on the full armor of God. And today, we're going to look at it, and Jesus attaches this same teaching that we've heard all these years. We know it. This is going to be a very recognizable scripture this morning. So I don't want you to tune it off by saying, oh, I've heard that before. No. Listen to it with the understanding that Jesus attaches it to, as you see the day approaching, as these things begin to unfold, do this all the more. So here we go with it. You've probably heard the phrase, pray until something happens. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. I think it's time for us to get pushy. Jesus is saying in the last days, before, as you see these things happen, right before my return, it's time to get more pushy. Now, I don't like pushy people, and I don't think anybody does. But God's Word is telling us that in the last days, as far as prayer is concerned, we need to get more pushy. I want to cover a lot this morning in the few minutes that we have. So if you'll open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, to a very familiar passage. In fact, songs have been written about it. It's a very traditional prayer that Jesus tells us to pray. In fact, we know it as the Lord's Prayer, which in fact, it shouldn't be called the Lord's Prayer. It should be called the Disciples' Prayer, because Jesus is telling the disciples, this is what you need to pray. It's a model prayer. It's a simple prayer. It's a concise prayer. It's not complex, complicated, but it's certainly not something, keep in mind, that we need to take and just do it by rote, just kind of words. He's saying this is the model prayer. And so he's put some elements in that prayer that are important to us. And I want you to understand what this prayer is. In fact, we could probably all say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. And that's the prayer. That's what we know. And so we just say it as an automatic, rote, memorized thing. But I think it rarely, lately, if ever, connects to the heart and the understanding that Jesus is creating and inserting some elements in there that are very important for us in these last days to apply to our prayer life. And that's what Jesus is saying. Take this prayer, flesh it out, make it personal. And this is what I want to talk to you about this morning as we go into our time of study. By the way, as we're praying, we're not bothering God. We're not he's not reluctant. In fact, someone said prayers are overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his willingness. Isn't that good to know? That God is willing. He's not reluctant. He's not ignoring us. He's not pushing us away. He's more than willing and able to do exceedingly, the Bible says, abundantly, above all we can imagine, hope for, or ask. So prayer is this. In fact, prayer means, you've probably heard prayer, supplication, request, making your request known to God. That's what prayer is. It's a form of communication. It's actually the vehicle of communication that God has given us to have between us and Him. But prayer is really making supplications. It's making requests. And there's six requests in this prayer that I want us to go over this morning. And then two quick things after that that Jesus kind of tags onto the end of it that says, by the way, let me just kind of flesh this out a little bit more, just to kind of give you a little more understanding of why I said this. So let's start with this. And by the way, as I said, this particular prayer, in Luke chapter 21, Jesus is going through all the different signs of what's going to happen. The moon's going to turn to blood. The sun's going to disappear. Earthquakes in various places. Famines and pestilence, etc. The whole list of things that we've heard about all these years right before Jesus catches his church up in the rapture. So he says all these things and then he tags it at the end. He says all of these signs and he ends with this. In Luke chapter 21 verse 36 he says this. Having said all that, keep alert at all times and pray. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of God. So Jesus answers three questions that I want us to ask this morning. And that's the three questions are this. What do we pray? How do we pray? And why do we pray? Let's look at what do we pray. It's the Lord's Prayer. So the first four verses of the Lord's Prayer starts off with these six requests, and they're divided into two sets of three. The first set of three is concerning the glory of God. It points things to Him. The last set talks about us or our. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, it starts off with saying, thine is the kingdom, thine, thou, thee, you. The last three says, us. Our. In fact, in that Lord's Prayer, there's not one I in there. It never says I and me. It's always us and we. Our. So keep that in mind too as we go through this, because that's a very important key. And what it's really doing is it's creating this division that's saying that God has all the power and the glory and the majesty, and we have all the needs and the wants and the poverty. God's got everything, we have nothing. So prayer is ultimately an act of dependence on God. So it begins with this. It starts off by saying, our Father, which is, by the way, a relationship that we have with Him. He's not some scary person that's going to thump us over the head. He's our Daddy God. We can crawl up in His lap and say, Daddy God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven. Now, heaven is where He is. He's seated in His majestic, all-powerful throne. So we're crawling up on His lap, and He's seated on this all-powerful throne over everything seen and unseen that He's created. That's pretty awesome right there. And then it moves to the first of the six requests. It simply says, hallowed be Thy name. Now, you wouldn't think that that's a request, but that really is, because that's a request that's asking us to hallow His name. What that really hallowed means is to reverence Your name and to honor Your name as holy. See, God is holy. We know that. But what we're asking God to do is to say, God, won't You help me to recognize You as holy? When I approach You, You're my Daddy God, but You're a holy Daddy God. And so it's a heart posture that we're asking about is, am I treating You as holy in my prayers? And that really is the question that I want to leave with you in this first point is this. Is God treated in your life as holy? Have you set your life apart from this world in every area as holy unto Him? That's what that prayer, that's what Jesus is saying. Is that when you approach Him, you must approach Him in holiness. You must approach Him as He is holy. So as He is holy, Lord, make me holy. Make things in my life holy. Set me apart as You're set apart in my life. Such an important key. It's foundational. Here's the next thing. He goes on by saying, Thy kingdom come. Well, all that is a prayer for God's kingdom to be revealed here on this earth, to be realized here on this earth and in our lives. I don't know. There's a lot of fears and uncertainties out there today. There's a lot of temptations out in our lives, and there's family issues going on. There's health concerns. There's financial concerns. and I'll say that all of those concerns, the final answer to all these issues, whether it be external or internal, is that God's kingdom would arrive in all those areas, circumstances in our life, as we call thy kingdom come. We invite God's kingdom to come, and when we do, we must be willing to submit our little kingdoms to his big kingdom. Really what we're doing is we're saying, God, we invite your kingdom to come, I'm also inviting my little kingdom to go. May your big kingdom come and my little kingdom go. Oh, what a great prayer, because there's so much more that God can do and wants to do through his massive, awesome, eternal kingdom. And we got these tiny little kingdoms, and we're trying to get it all figured out. And we say, you know what? Lord, let your kingdom come. Here's the third thing that he's talking about as it's going to thy or you. He says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have this situation about what's going on in heaven. He's really contrasting what's going on earth and what's happening in heaven. So what's going on in heaven right now? How are things happening in heaven right now? Well, there's things that are... God's will is being done in heaven completely. God's will is being done in heaven perfectly. God's will is being done in heaven joyfully. God's will is being done in heaven unceasingly. God's will is being done in heaven immediately. Oh, I want those things that are happening in heaven to come to this earth, and may your kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever's going on in heaven, I'm calling that down, that that'll be happening right here on the earth as well. Not only in my life, but in the life of whatever is going on in this earth. May your will be done. So we're praying these first three aspects in this Lord's Prayer, that God's holiness, God's kingdom, and God's lordship in our lives will take place. Those are the three requests that we're making in our prayers. Then he shifts to the last three, which are the our requests. Remember, there's not any I's in this prayer. There's only ours or we. So I know we tend to have self-centered prayers. I heard a story once where this young lady was saying, Lord, I'm really trying to pray selflessly, and so I just pray for all these situations and all. She was doing really good until she got into the prayer. She was a single lady, and her prayer was, and Lord, won't you give my mother a great son-in-law one day? Well, she almost made it, didn't she? We tend to gravitate towards and get absorbed in our own needs, and we tend to lose sight of the needs around us. So when we pray our and we, what happens is that our includes us, but it doesn't exclude others. An I prayer excludes others. A we prayer includes me and you. So he's telling us to pray in such a way where we're praying for the we and the us situation. So the first category is, give us this day our daily bread. Now we think, okay, God's going to give us a loaf of bread or a piece of bread. That's great. And that's true. But it's not just our physical need of food to eat. It's also a request to expand to such things like our clothes, shelter, money, employment, healthy relationships, godly rulers, good government, good weather, good friends, good neighbors, peace in our minds and peace in our hearts. It's really just, Lord, take care of my physical need, not just bread, but everything that represents me. Won't you come and take care of not just that, but those around me, my family, my church, my brothers and sisters, my community, those in my workplace, my classmates. Take care. Give us this day our daily bread. Show yourself to be the God who provides. And as you do, that's going to give me an opportunity to connect that's happening in their lives to your goodness and your provision. Amen? So it's not just praying for our needs, but it's praying for others. So I just want you to remember that it's give us, so let's pray for others as well as we pray for ourselves. Then he moves to the second request, and in this our category, and he says, and forgive us our sins. He doesn't say forgive me my sins. He says forgive us our sins. So even though we're praying, Lord, forgive me, he's also saying, won't you help others to walk in that forgiveness as well that you provide? So, you know, we've already been saved. So we're not asking God to save us every day. As we've accepted Jesus in our hearts as Lord and Savior, we're saved. That relationship that was broken has been restored, okay? I remember when I was 14 years old, and I'd been raised in church, and every Sunday it seemed like Jesus save me, Jesus save me, Jesus save me, Jesus save me. I can't count the amount of times that I prayed that prayer in church. And one time when I was about 14 years old, I remember the Sunday. I remember very clearly. I prayed that same prayer in church. I was up in the balcony of my church. I said, Jesus save me. And I felt the Holy Spirit just speak to me right at that moment and say, Brian, you're good. Now just walk this out. And it changed my perspective, and it changed the paradigm of how I walked in my relationship with the Lord. I realized at that point what he was saying was this. You don't need to keep asking me to save you. You just need to walk out this relationship now. Now that does mean that there's daily that I go to him and say, Jesus, won't you work in me your holiness, your purity, your righteousness, make me what I need to be, and make me more like Jesus. There's that constant washing that takes place because there's that constant filth that tries to get in, and I react badly, I speak badly, I think badly, I don't do things that are pleasing to the Lord. So I ask the Lord to just make those hard adjustments as I go. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You're not getting saved every day. You're just getting back to that regular sort of cleansing. It's an old cartoon. If you remember Dennis the Menace, there was an old cartoon that said it best. It's kind of like this. He was kneeling by his bedside one night, and he was telling God, God, I'm here to turn myself in. We need to turn ourselves into God daily. Amen? Every day, turn ourselves in. But Jesus adds a condition to this part of the prayer. There's no other part in no other condition in this entire prayer except for this part. We not only sin, but we're also sinned against. So as we ask God to forgive us, he's also said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. He even goes as far to say that if we don't forgive others their trespasses, he won't forgive us our trespasses. You know, the ultimate act of arrogance is to expect God to forgive us when we refuse to forgive others. Now, how often you ask under the circumstances, how often do we forgive? Let me make it very clear. God's word says we forgive everyone of everything always. That's tough. We let go of all bitterness. We let go of all anger. We let go of all revenge. We don't justify it. We don't excuse it away. We don't cover it up. We let it go. No exceptions. We release the other from their debt as we expect God to release us from the debt that we owe him, which Jesus has already taken care of. Someone said it like this. He that cannot forgive others or chooses not to forgive others destroys the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would reach heaven. For everyone has need to be forgiven. So if you're struggling with unforgiveness today, I want to challenge you to ask God to give you the grace to forgive you to forgive others as he has forgiven you. And I promise you that he's going to help you do it. And then pray for others to do the same. As you see people walking and struggling with unforgiveness, say, Lord, help them to walk in that grace of walking in forgiveness towards others as you have forgiven them. Here's the third request of the hour. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is an interesting phrase too, because you think, well, wait a minute. Why is God leading us into temptation? He's not. James 1:3 is emphatic that says that God will not, cannot, does not tempt us. He's not going to do it. What this phrase is, he's saying instead, it's kind of a contrasting phrase. He says instead of God leading us into, he says he wants to lead us from. It's kind of a figure of speech. Really what it's saying is this. God, keep us away from temptation. That's our request. Keep us away from temptation. Show us the detour to you and away from sin. Don't let Satan ambush us. Build a hedge of protection around us. We know those prayers. That's what Jesus is saying. If we ask, he'll not only do that for us, but he'll do it for others. Now let me move quickly to the last two questions that Jesus answered. What do we pray? The Lord's Prayer. So here's the next question. How do we pray? How do we pray? He goes on in this Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. You can read it later on if you would. He tells of a parable of a man who is knocking on the door of his friend's house. And he says, hey, would you open up and give me some loaves of bread? Let me borrow some food from you because I got some company that's visiting. It's midnight. I don't have any food for them. And the neighbor says, man, go away. I got kids in bed and you're disturbing me and I can't do it right now. But the man keeps persisting. They're knocking on the door. And finally, the other man who's inside gives in and opens the door and says, here, take it. And Jesus was saying, do that. In fact, you've heard this phrase. It says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. That's in this text. And what he's saying is, if you ask, it'll be given to you. If you seek, you'll find it. If you knock, the door's going to be open. It's a persistence. Again, it's not overcoming God's reluctance. He's willing. So why should we be persistent? Why did Jesus say, be persistent? And I think it's this. I think persistence in our prayers builds a stronger faith in us. I think persistence in our prayers deepens our conversations with God. I think persistence in our prayers, it causes our patience to be stretched and our gratitude to increase. And who knows that maybe in the delays that God is giving us, that God wants to do something different or maybe even bigger. Think about this. By waiting for a few days with Lazarus, Jesus didn't just heal a sick man, he raised a dead man. Something to do, there's something to say for delaying in prayer. So keep being persistent because it's helping us. God's not playing games. He knows what he's doing. Here's the third question that we're asking that Jesus answered in the text this morning. And that is this. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Well, simply because it's the nature of God. That's why. We pray because it's his nature. He gives us an example of a father who says, hey, use an earthly father. If your child asked for a fish, you wouldn't give him a snake. If the child asked you for an egg, you wouldn't give him a scorpion. And he says, if sinful people like us know how to give good gifts, a fish, an egg, something good like that, then how much more will your heavenly father give you good gifts? You know, this should build our confidence today and our motivation to pray and persist in prayer. You're never bothering God. You're never burdening God when you pray. He enjoys us asking because it's his nature to lavish gifts on us as his children. We're actually blessing the Father when we make requests to him. So our prayers get sifted through his goodness, through his wisdom, and they come out on the other side with only what is good for us. So let me just end this today by saying, let's get pushing in our prayers in these last days. Pray until something happens, trusting that your Heavenly Father will give you good gifts. As the world grows more chaotic and uncertain, I want you to turn your panic into prayers. Don't be a stranger to God. Let him hear your voice often. Pray regularly. Pray repeatedly. Jesus is coming back soon. Folks, it can be any day now. So pray to God that you honor his holiness, his kingdom, and his will. Pray for yours and others' needs. Pray to forgive as you've been forgiven. Pray God keeps you and others away from temptation and delivers you from all evil that Satan tries to lure you into. Pray daily, intentionally, fervently, with faith believing. And no matter what, push. Get pushy. Pray until something happens. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for this time and for your word that's helping us, encouraging us. This old-timey prayer that we've heard so often and have memorized, Lord, I pray that it gets new, fresh legs on it this morning. And it reveals to us some things that maybe we haven't thought about for a while or have never seen in this prayer that would become fresh to us. It's not just a prayer of rote, but it's a model prayer that we can flesh out in our own personal lives, that we would give you the glory about your kingdom and honor your holiness, and then pray for others as well, our needs and others around us, for your provision, for forgiveness, and Lord God, that we would just trust you, that you're going to just take care of our needs and not tempt us and remove us away from those temptations into your holiness. And Lord, for those that don't know you today, maybe they're watching this and they're saying, wow, I've heard that prayer. I grew up in a church where they prayed that prayer a lot, but I never knew what it meant. And I'm here today listening to this, and it makes sense now for the first time. And I need Jesus to, I need you to come into my heart and to restore that broken relationship that I have with God the Father through your finished work, Lord Jesus. So I place my faith in you, Lord Jesus, today. Won't you forgive me of my sins? Come live in my heart, be Lord of my life, and restore that relationship back to God the Father. And I thank you, Jesus. And now that I'm saved, I can walk this out and have good relationship with God the Father through you. I place my faith in you, Lord Jesus. And we praise you this for this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you're happy to be in the house of the Lord in God's presence, would you throw some thumbs up there for me just to let me know you're there? And give me some praise the Lord's, some heart emojis, different things. Let me see those things kind of start floating up there. While you're doing that, let me give you a few announcements. 2 weeks from today, we're having our first drive-in services. It's on May the 31st. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's going to be at 10:30. You're going to come on in to the parking area. There's going to be some folks that are going to give you some communion elements. We're having communion that day. We're also going to give you some tithe envelope, and we'll give you how many communion things you need. We're going to pull in and face the pavilion. Stay in your cars. Tune it to the FM radio frequency. We'll have some praise and worship. I'll share the word, and we'll have a great time of waving at one another, maybe hollering at each other from our cars, windows, and just have church together in the church parking lot. I look forward to that. We'll still do some Facebook live service as well for those of you who still feel like you need to keep some of the social distancing if there's some physical compromise, health compromises that you have. Also, don't forget the youth and the kids and the life groups are doing their Zoom groups together. So stay in tune with that and stay engaged with that. Thank you for your faithfulness and giving of your tithes and offerings. Please continue to do so. We're supporting missionaries all across the world. I'm getting reports from them talking about how through all this, they're still being able to minister, strategically minister during the difficult time. Listen, that coronavirus is hitting the world. And so they're dealing with it in these other countries just like we are here. And so they're strategically ministering to them, and we're able to support them through your faithful giving, as well as those here locally in our community that we're able to reach out and touch lives. So please keep giving. I appreciate that. Next Sunday, I want to talk about doing the best things in the worst of times as we continue in our end times survival guide, how we can thrive in these last days. The darker the night, the brighter one candle becomes in it. Now, I typically will leave you a link to a song that I want you to listen to, but today I want to sing to you a song that's found out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. It's actually a prayer that a lot of pastors end their sermons with, but I want to sing this to you. I was just kind of humming this along this week. Just the Lord just gave me a tune to it, and I felt like it's something that I need to share with you this morning. So I'm going to get a little drink of water to kind of freshen up my throat, and I want to sing this to you as we close here today. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. That's my prayer to you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. And please do me a favor. Take this post and share it with someone that is on your Facebook list, and just let them enjoy it and be ministered to by this message as well. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. Have a blessed week.